exactly what skills the modern world is desperate for, don't look at a Fortune 500 boardroom. You really need to look at the local middle school.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, when you hear the phrase school district community update, your brain probably immediately pictures a very dry black and white pamphlet.
Yeah, a total snooze fest.
Right. The kind of thing filled with cafeteria menus, dates for the spring chorus concert, maybe, I don't know, a reminder about bus routes.
Exactly. Something you just toss in the recycling without a second thought.
But welcome to the Deep Dive, where today we are looking at a document that breaks that mold entirely. We've got our hands on the Spring 2026 Points of Pride Community Update from the West Shore School District in Pennsylvania.
And it is fascinating stuff.
It really is. Reading through this material, it just doesn't read like a standard newsletter at all. It reads like a very intentional blueprint for surviving the future.
It absolutely does. I'm glad we're diving into this with you today because, well, schools are essentially microcosms of our broader society.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what a district is actively prioritizing, like where they are putting their budget, how they are reshaping their physical spaces, the specific technologies they are adopting, you aren't just looking at an administrative update.
Right. It's bigger than that.
You are looking at a real-time roadmap of the exact skills and values the next generation is being trained to internalize.
And that brings us to the mission of our deep dive today. We want to explore how modern education is rapidly evolving to prepare kids for an incredibly complex, totally unpredictable world.
It is a massive shift.
Huge. We are going to look at how this specific district is balancing the aggressive adoption of high-tech, cutting-edge artificial intelligence with, like, literal dirt-under-the-fingernails agriculture.
Yeah, that dual approach is just so unique.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we look at how the district is changing its physical buildings, we really need to understand how they're changing the way students actually process information.
Right, the AI integration.
Yes. Specifically, their rollout of artificial intelligence in the high schools, which started in the fourth marking period. My initial assumption was that they were just, you know, letting kids loose on the open internet with a standard ChatGPT prompt.
Which would be a disaster.
Total grading nightmare.
Yeah, that open access, unregulated approach is precisely what terrifies most educators. And it's exactly what this district actively avoided.
Oh, thank goodness.
They are utilizing a tool called Notebook LM. It's an AI-powered research assistant developed by Google.
Okay.
But the crucial mechanism here is that it operates as a closed system. It only interacts with materials that the students or teachers actually upload themselves.
Wait, really? So just the stuff they manually feed into it?
Yep. We're talking about approved class documents, specific peer-reviewed research articles, verified resources, things like that.
So it's not just scraping random, potentially hallucinated information from the darkest corners of the web?
Not at all.
Huh.
It generates responses based strictly on the uploaded text. And more importantly, it provides clear citations back to that specific source material.
Oh, wow. That's incredibly helpful.
Furthermore, it operates entirely within a secure Google workspace that explicitly protects student data. The system isn't legally allowed to use student inputs or essays to train the massive public AI models. Under Board Policy 815.1, the AI use scale explicitly states the goal is to enhance original thinking and creativity, not to replace the student's voice.
But they are also applying that engineering mindset to physical objects. The update highlights the PA Invention Convention over in Hershey.
That was a particularly revealing example of this applied critical thinking.
Yeah. So you have a team of middle schoolers, Logan Hockenberry, Tanner Villarreal, Hunter Huffer, and Christopher Musgrove.
Great team.
And they went to this statewide convention, and they didn't just build the classic baking soda volcano.
Right. No paper mache here.
They invented something they call stealth hydration,
which solves a remarkably specific everyday annoyance.
It really does. It's an invention designed to stop metal water bottles from making that deafening, echoing, clanging noise when you accidentally drop them on a hard floor.
The worst sound.
Anyone who has been in a dead silent classroom or office when a metal hydro flask hits the tile knows the exact shockwave they're trying to prevent.
It's jarring.
It illustrates what the district is pushing for, you know? Observing your environment, identifying a real-world friction point, and engineering a creative, tangible solution.
That requires the student to move beyond theory. You identify a problem, you prototype a solution, you test the acoustics, you refine the design.
Yeah.
It's applied knowledge, which is a very different cognitive muscle than simply passing a multiple choice test.
But you can't build a generation of system thinkers and inventors if you confine them entirely to digital clouds and metal water bottles.
True.
The most fascinating element of this update is how the district balances this high-tech push with a massive investment in literal physical ecosystems.
Right, getting your hands dirty.
Exactly. On March 17th, 2026, Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture Russell Redding visited the district for Agriculture Literacy Week.
A visit that highlights a completely different yet complementary kind of system.
Yeah, the source material shows him doing two different things. First, he's at Highland Elementary, reading to third graders to build that foundational awareness of where food actually originates.
Which is super important.
But what really caught my eye was what was happening over at Cedar Cliff High School. They aren't just planting a small community garden. They are running a full-scale aquaponics lab.
The mechanics of that lab are incredibly complex for a high school setting.
Mind-blowing, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a fully sustainable, closed-loop system. The students are managing tanks of fish.
Wow.
The waste produced by those fish breaks down into nutrients. Those nutrients feed the plants they are growing hydroponically.
And then the plants clean the water.
Yes. The roots of those plants filter and clean the water, which is then pumped right back to the fish. But the ecosystem extends beyond the water, too.
They're doing more.
Oh, yeah. They are raising chicks, they are keeping bees, they are harvesting honey.
He's at a high school.
I know. And they are taking those raw materials to manufacture and market actual products, like lip balm. The whole operation reads like a miniature Silicon Valley startup, but for biology.
The startup analogy works perfectly because the stakes in an aquaponics lab are incredibly high and immediate.
Because it's alive.
Exactly. This is why it's the ultimate lesson in systems thinking. In a traditional industrialized education model, subjects are strictly siloed.
You go to math, then history.
Right. You go to biology for 45 minutes, then the bell rings. You go to economics, the bell rings. You go to tech ed. But an aquaponics system teaches a student that every single action has a cascading reaction within an environment.
Because you literally can't separate the fish from the water chemistry.
Precisely. If a student miscalculates the pH level in the water, the fish die.
Oh, no.
And if the fish die, the nutrient supply stops and the plants die.
It's a chain reaction.
If the plants die, there's no product to turn into lip balm, which means the economics of the project completely collapse. It forces holistic thinking.
That makes so much sense.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that ability to understand how different, seemingly unrelated systems impact one another is exactly what the modern global workforce is demanding.
Absolutely.
Whether a student eventually manages a corporate supply chain, develops public policy, or works in global environmental stewardship, they have to understand that pulling a lever in one department changes the reality in another.
But here is the friction point. You can't run a living, breathing biological startup or conduct advanced AI research if the school bell rings every 45 minutes and forces you to drop your beaker to run to gym class.
Right. It just doesn't work.
Building system thinkers requires a system-level overhaul of the school clock itself.
You cannot change the output of a school without fundamentally restructuring the use of time and space. The traditional schedule is simply too rigid for this kind of immersive work.
Which brings us to a massive logistical shift. Starting in the 2026-2027 school year, both Cedar Cliff and Redland High Schools are moving to a 7-period instructional day. The goal stated in the update is to open up more flexibility, allowing students to balance their core state-mandated academic requirements with a wider range of electives.
And those career pathways.
Yeah, those time-intensive, hands-on enrichment opportunities.
Moving to a 7-period day, it recalibrates the minutes in each class, so students aren't forced to choose between, you know, taking an AP history class and participating in the aquaponics program.
And to make sure the scheduling math actually translates to student success, the district laid out their 2026-2029 Future Ready Comprehensive Plan.
Ah, yes, the comprehensive plan.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because, let's be real, comprehensive plans in local government can often just be fluff pieces, a lot of backpatting and corporate jargon.
Oh, they frequently serve as marketing brochures rather than actionable strategies.
But this update is surprisingly transparent with its data. Under their strengths, they list academic growth, social-emotional learning, and their response to English learner needs.
Which are great strengths to have.
But they also explicitly list their challenges for the whole community to see. They highlight attendance, special education performance, and this is the metric that really stopped me, enthusiasm and school pride.
It is genuinely revolutionary to see a district publicly elevate student enthusiasm to the level of a core challenge metric right alongside special education performance.
Usually, school pride is just about whether kids show up to the Friday football game.
Right, wearing the school colors. But treating it as a key performance indicator is a highly sophisticated management strategy.
How so?
The district is acknowledging a fundamental truth. If students lack enthusiasm, if they don't feel a sense of belonging or ownership over their environment,
nothing else matters.
Exactly. All the AI guardrails and aquaponics labs in the world will not maximize their potential. You cannot force a disengaged student to care about the pH level of a fish tank.
That is so true.
By tracking pride and enthusiasm, they are treating student buy-in as a critical infrastructure requirement.
And speaking of infrastructure, hitting those comprehensive goals requires major physical overhauls.
Literal bricks and mortar.
Yep. The most dramatic one detailed here revolves around the Allen Middle School renovations. They need to do major construction to modernize the instructional spaces there.
Right.
So to handle the disruption, they are implementing a multi-year attendance plan that completely splits the Allen Middle School student body. Some of the kids are being integrated into New Cumberland Middle School.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the other portion are being moved inside Cedar Cliff High School into a dedicated first floor wing they are calling Allen Academy.
Logistically, that is an incredibly heavy lift. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this isn't just about finding empty classrooms to warehouse kids during construction. It's an exercise in extreme physical space management.
Right.
The district is treating the high school building as a shell and building a completely separate ecosystem inside it.
Oh, so they aren't just sharing a cafeteria and hoping for the best.
Far from it. The district maintains entirely dedicated middle school staff for these students.
Good.
They operate on highly structured schedules with bell times that likely do not overlap with the high school passing periods.
So they aren't in the halls at the same time.
Right. They are isolated in that specific first floor wing with their own access points and support services.
That is a huge relief.
By keeping the environment strictly controlled, the district proves that safety and structure are created by the systems you put in place, not just the brick and mortar of the building itself.
Which is an incredible segue into the final major theme of this update. Because creating a safe system inside the school walls is one thing, but student safety requires the outside community to share that responsibility.
And that is where things get complicated. I looked at the bus patrol numbers provided in the update, and the statistics are honestly quite jarring.
To give some context, in October 2025, the district partnered with a safety technology company to activate stop arm enforcement cameras on all district school buses.
Yes. And the update published the violation data for just a tiny 3-month window.
Yeah.
December 2025 through February 2026.
Just 3 months.
In that short time, local police departments issued over 300 citations to drivers.
Over 300.
Specifically, 118 citations in December, 121 in January, and 107 in February.
And it's not a cheap mistake either. It's a $300 fine per citation.
It is important to remember that these citations aren't just, you know, automated computer glitches. Every single one of those 300 plus incidents was manually reviewed by a local law enforcement officer before the ticket was issued.
Wait, really?
Yes. The newsletter is packed with examples of the students themselves stepping up and modeling incredible community responsibility.
Instead of just listing off all the student achievements, let's look at one that really embodies that systems thinking we talked about earlier. The Cedar Cliff girls and boys basketball teams.
A phenomenal example of leveraging a social system for good.
Exactly. Sports rivalries are usually zero-sum games. You play the other team, you win or you lose, and you go home.
Right.
But these teams took their intense local rivalry with Mechanicsburg and completely re-engineered the outcome. They turned the games into a massive charity drive, ultimately collecting over 400 new books for patients at the Penn State Health Children's Hospital.
That's incredible.
They recognized that the crowd gathering for a basketball game was an underutilized resource, a system they could tap into to solve a community problem.
It demonstrates deep empathy, but also logistical execution. Just like the aquaponics lab, they identified a need, mobilized the supply chain of donations, and delivered a result.
And you see that empathy everywhere in this document. You have a third grader, Amari Sheldon, who launched a diaper drive for local families.
Wow.
You have a fourth grader, Quinn Duong, starting a kindness club at Ross Moyne Elementary.
A kindness club. I love that.
The district even teamed up with Lamar Advertising to take the artwork of 18 different students and put it up on massive local billboards to celebrate National Youth Art Month. The students are beautifying and supporting their environment at a highly sophisticated level.
They really are.
So what does this all mean? When we look at this entire stack of information from the West Shore School District, we aren't just looking at a spring update. We are looking at a massive intentional shift in how we prepare humans for the world.
It's a complete paradigm shift.
We're seeing a district completely master planning a 7-period day just to fit in everything from putting strict guardrails on artificial intelligence so it only tells the truth, to teaching kids how to sustain delicate, closed-loop biological ecosystems. Mm.
It is a remarkable, exhausting effort to engineer a safe, productive reality for these kids.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the blueprint of modern education. Keep asking questions, keep looking at the systems around you, and stay curious. We'll catch you next time.